the transformative power of the Lord's grace and love and mercy of the risen Christ changes each and every single one of our hearts. For another church during this time of transition encourages us to pray for the cardinal electors for the new pope. We pray that they be guided by the Holy Spirit, be open and docile to the Holy Spirit during this time. We also are encouraged to pray for the repose of the soul of our deceased pope, Pope Francis. In fact, the church encourages us specifically to pray in Our Father, and Hail Mary, and Glory Be for the repose of the soul. We will do that now together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. All are invited to our Divine Mercy Holy Hour today at 3 o'clock. Immediately after Mass, I'll have a baptism. Great day to be baptized, by the way. And then immediately after that, well, 3 o'clock will be our holy hour, but in person, come for confessions before then. Father Joel's coming, you'll hear confessions. I will hear confessions during the holy hour, too, if needed. We'll pray the song at Divine Mercy Chapel with our choir. All are invited to come, receive the Lord's mercy. In fact, that's what we prayed in our wonderful, actually, in the rite of confession, one of the dismissals, the options for the priest, the dismissal for the penitent, is give thanks to the Lord for he is good. The response is, his mercy endures forever. This is what we celebrate during Easter. This is what the central mystery of our faith, the resurrection of Christ. Not only do we celebrate a season for 50 days, but we celebrate the exact day of resurrection for 8 days, an octave. It culminates in this beautiful day today of Divine Mercy Sunday, which Pope St. John Paul II gave us, dubbing it Divine Mercy Sunday. There is no greater sign of the mercy of God than the resurrected Christ. There is no greater sign. We celebrate the fact that the Lord Jesus died for us, paid the price for our sins, and rose from the dead on the third day, conquering sin and death and offering us eternal life. This is the good news. Because the bad news is that we deserve hell by our sins. Our default position is we're lost forever. And if we're not sinners, then why are we here? Why do we need a Savior? Why be Catholic? Why go to church? We often live not much different than unbelievers. And maybe it's because of the heresy that permeates our church, of course it permeates the world, that there's no hell, or if there is a hell, it's empty. Where'd we get that from? It's not in the scriptures. It's exactly the opposite what Jesus tells us. We can look to St. Faustina's Divine Mercy Diary. The Lord gave her a vision of hell. And one of the things was that she came out and said the diary so that people will know this is real. And unrepentant sinners go there. We don't have a right to God's mercy or forgiveness. We don't deserve it. We deserve the opposite. But our God is so good and so loving that he forgives us over and over again. Limitless mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the sacraments that forgive our sins. Give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. It's also interesting, this gospel account is the first time that we notice that Jesus meets his disciples as a group after the resurrection. The last time that he saw these 11 men, he was looking at their backs in the dark because they all ran away. In fact, they didn't even accompany him through his suffering and death. Some of them denied even knowing him. But Jesus doesn't mention this in this first encounter. He doesn't say, "Hey guys, remember that time you all betrayed me? Hey guys, remember, thanks a lot for not sticking by me." What does the Lord Jesus say? "Peace be with you." This is a continuation from the Last Supper. As if nothing had intervened, Jesus continues to complete this commissioning of the apostles that he'd done at the Last Supper, where he instituted the Eucharist and said, "Do this in memory of me," ordaining them as priests, and then he gives them today the power to forgive sins. He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained." Having shown his apostles mercy, Jesus ordains them as agents of divine mercy, empowering them to forgive sin. The forgiveness of sins in the Old Testament was administered by the priests, specifically the Levitical order. So Jesus here is commissioning the apostles to a priestly role in the New Covenant. The church has always known and seen that this authority to forgive sins was handed on to the apostles' successors, because there's always a need for this ministry, right? Jesus knows we're going to sin after baptism, so he institutes the sacrament today in our gospel. We see in these verses the seeds, if you will, the essential nature of the sacraments that we call holy orders and reconciliation. And this gospel seems to have an interesting focus, continuing to focus on this person of Thomas the Apostle and the wounds of Christ. Isn't it interesting that we're focused on the resurrection, but yet Jesus' wounds are emphasized in this passage? Why would our gospel writer St. John do this? For he's alive, he's not dead anymore. As soon as Jesus walks into that room, he shows them his hands and his side. He shows them the wounds of the crucifixion. Thomas isn't there, he returns later, and the others exclaim, "We have seen the Lord." But he replies, "I won't believe that until I see and touch the wounds." And he does see them, and he does touch them, and it leads him to exclaim in faith, "My Lord and my God." The gospel is reminding us that God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son. Jesus died for you and I. Would have paid the price if we were the only person on earth. Christ has saved us. His wounds are his identity card. They shout out to us that God's mercy is more powerful than death. And all this is tied into the feast that we celebrate today. Mercy is when God's love meets our brokenness. Mercy is when the love of God meets our brokenness. And we're all broken, my friends. We're all sinners. Sin wounds. Wounds ourselves. So we're all in need of the mercy of God. We need to experience it, touch it, receive it. Pope Francis said, it was paraphrasing Pope Benedict XVI, "The name of God is mercy." All three of the last popes that we've had have emphasized the mercy of God. The wounds of Christ, which are visible for all eternity, are a vivid reminder of this. It's not enough to know abstractly about the mercy of God, or that the name of God is mercy. We need to see it. We need to be reminded of it. We need to experience it. So we can say that the mercy of God comes to us through the wounds of Christ. St. Faustina Kowalska was a nun of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy in Krakow, Poland. Beginning in 1933, Jesus himself granted her a series of apparitions, which, at his request, she recorded in her diary, which is named Divine Mercy in My Soul. And the Lord gave her a mission. He said this, "Today I'm sending you with my mercy to the people of the whole world. I do not want to punish aching mankind, but I desire to heal it, pressing it to my merciful heart." Pope St. John Paul II read her diary and was deeply moved by it. While he was quoting, beatified and canonized St. Faustina, he declared this Sunday Divine Mercy Sunday, a celebration to be had in the whole church. St. Faustina experienced that Christ's mercy comes to us through his wounds. She wrote that Jesus told her this, "My daughter, tell the whole world about my mercy, my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the feast of mercy be a refuge and a shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners." So it's a feast for all of us. Jesus also says, "I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy." That ocean of mercy comes through Christ's wounds. And sometimes, my friends, we're afraid to let God see our wounds. For in the sacrament of confession, that's what we do. There's nothing greater as a priest to be able to be an instrument of God's grace. I know so many priests enjoy anointing persons, hearing confessions, because we've been changed by the sacraments too. We go to confession all the time. For whatever reason, if we've been away from confession, come back. And I must say too, if we're nearing the end of life and we need the last rites, which are confession, anointing, and communion, let us know. Don't wait till it's too late. Father John and I, one of us always has the emergency phone on us. We have 3 churches, 2 counties, a school to cover. We're not always in the office. The number's on the bulletin. It's the first thing you hear when you call into the office. If this is a sacramental emergency, dial this. So don't wait. Additionally, I feel compelled to share this with you all. There's this growing, I guess, I don't know, trend. It's kind of set me off at first in a weird way. I don't know how. People are requesting last rites. I get there. Can I hear your confession? No, I don't want to get a confession. What? I know, right? Like, this is what last rites is. And then if we were anointed, but in the state of sin, we don't go to confession, the anointing happens, but the grace doesn't happen. We aren't able to receive it. We aren't disposed to receive it. If you've been told that confession is optional, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Go to confession. The church requires you to go at least once a year. St. John Paul II went every single day at the end of his life. And I'm pretty sure he has a lot bigger sin. I'm sorry, I have a lot bigger sins than him. So many saints have told us the importance of regular confession. In other words, let's think about it this way. If I'm afraid to share my wounds with the Lord Jesus, how can he forgive me if I don't ask for forgiveness? In other words, let's think of an analogy. What if I had an accident while cooking dinner, whatever, I slice open my arm? It's bleeding, I cover it up, I go to the doctor, "Doc, I don't feel so good, cut open my arm." "Okay, let me see it, Padre." "No, you can't see it." That's what we're doing when we don't go to confession. Jesus can't really do much for us if we don't show him our wounds. Yeah, it's vulnerable, but the divine mercy that you receive, the effects of the sacrament of confession, forgiveness of sins, strength to do good and avoid evil in the exact areas that we confess, which we all need, and peace of soul. The Holy Spirit fills our soul. We're temples of the Holy Spirit again after confession. I don't know about you,
But I want that. We all need some peace of soul, don't we? When we bring our wounds caused by sin to Jesus, He can heal them. He's the divine physician. Let Him go to work. The mercy of God can come to us through our wounds then. Go to confession. Receive the Lord's love and mercy. This is the practical way that God has given us to receive His mercy. So let us take courage from this wonderful feast today of divine mercy. Let's resolve to receive the sacraments more frequently this year. Christ's mercy comes to us through His wounds. When we bring Him our wounds in the sacrament of confession, our very wounds become the entrance point for His merciful love. And then and only then can we experience the peace and the joy that the risen Christ desires to give us. Our God is a loving God. He doesn't force it on us. This is what we celebrate today at Easter. This is the sign of God's love. This is why we give thanks and why we pray with the psalmist. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever.